Hello there, and welcome to Women of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ahn, the Gritpreneur and Woman of Grit. Come on in. We saved a seat at the table for you. In today's episode, we have a truly inspiring guest joining us. Dr. Praveena Rajendra is a narcissistic victim empowerment coach. She helps adult children of narcissistic parents escape traumatic abuse and confidently begin to make their own decisions about how to live their best life without fear or guilt. She brings a unique perspective to her work with a groundbreaking framework she developed called the Narcissistic Victim Empowerment Technique, or NVET. Through her column, The Mind in the Sun, Malaysia's national daily, she raises awareness about mental health and advocates for change. Her passion for making a difference garnered her the prestigious Malaysia's Women Leaders Award by the World Women Leadership Congress. So without wasting any more time, let's meet Dr. Rajendra. Welcome to Woman of Grit, Dr. Praveena Rajendra.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity.
Excellent. It's my pleasure to, you know, I read your bio and I was pretty intrigued. So in addition to what's already mentioned in your bio, you're also an engineer, academician, researcher, and an avid animal activist who serves as a voice for issues pertaining to the environment and animals. So this passion for making a difference garnered you the prestigious Malaysia's Women Leaders Award by the World Women Leadership Congress. So in my eyes and in the eyes of our listeners, you're truly a woman of grit. I'm going to ask you about passion and perseverance. Grit is defined as passion and perseverance for meaningful long-term goals despite obstacles and setbacks. So if you could only choose one, passion or perseverance, not both, which would you choose and why?
Good question. Passion or perseverance? And I cannot choose both, yeah?
Nope. And there's no right answer. There's no right answer.
Okay, that's a good one. So I would choose perseverance. Perseverance, yes. Because perseverance is the fundamental thing that one needs to actually navigate through this life, because passion can be nurtured, passion can be, you know, grown within, but perseverance is what brings your passion across. So I believe what every one should have is perseverance. They should have that, yeah, to hold that thing and pull it across. Through perseverance is very, very important.
Nice, I like that. So as a person who experienced narcissistic abuse, not parental, but partner, and who did not recognize it for what it was at the time it was happening, I'm glad someone like you with expertise in this area can share valuable information and insights with our listeners. So can you tell us more about the Narcissistic Victim Empowerment Technique, or NVET, and what inspired you to develop it?
Narcissistic Victim Empowerment Technique, it's a framework that I've developed based on my personal life experience and also based on extensive research and studies. And this technique talks about understanding, acceptance, empathizing, and mainly how to get out of this childhood trauma, especially for those who have experienced parental narcissistic abuse. The techniques used is mainly active self-questioning, trying to get them to understand that we as an individual, we have the capability to get out of our childhood trauma from within by utilizing this active self-questioning. And the first step to it is actually understanding. So this is how NVET has been developed. What inspired me is because I've met many people who have actually undergone this, but not knowing how to get out of this situation. And with NVET, I believe I'll be able to empower many individuals out there to come out of this narcissistic cycle, abuse cycle.
Thank you. Thank you for that response. And thank you for developing this framework, and thank you for the work you do. So many individuals find it challenging to speak about parental narcissistic abuse due to trauma and societal perceptions. I know I did and continue to experience skepticism when I talk about it, even till this day. I mean, there are some people who don't even believe when you talk about narcissistic abuse. They look at you kind of, you know, as we say here, side eye, you know, sideways. So much so that there are certain people I don't even discuss it with. How do you approach breaking the silence and empowering these individuals to take control of their own lives?
First and foremost, clients who come to me, people who come to me, they kind of don't understand where they are right now. It's a very confusing being in a narcissistic abuse relationship. It's very confusing. Things just doesn't seem to make sense for them, especially if your parents or guardians are narcissistic in nature. Everything else seems not normal. The world that they live in seems normal, and everything else outside seems very new to them. If they see their friends' parents being open to them, there's a different world altogether, you see. And they have not been exposed, these victims, they have not been exposed to that. So when people come and talk to me, first and foremost, I would ask them what their experience, how are they feeling actually. There's some sort of heavy burden in them when they want to talk about their parents being narcissists. There's a heavy burden where there's a lot of guilt, shame, and fear involved. Societal perception, like what you've mentioned earlier, is a major thing here. I mean, how can you go and tell people that my parent is a narcissist, my guardian is a narcissist? People will look at you like, are you for real? I mean, they are your parents. So it's okay if they are like that, you see? So what stops this this abuse victims? I wouldn't survivors. They are not yet survivors. They are still in that phase of going from victim to survivor. Being in that situation and thriving through it itself is a huge deal. What is actually stopping them is guilt, shame, and fear. I try to penetrate that three emotions that's crippling them to get them to talk about it. Being a parent, this is what I would tell people who has this extensive guilt, shame, and fear. For a parent to serve you, to give, provide you with the basic necessities, it is a duty of a good parent to provide you with all this.
Absolutely.
For them to have you carry that burden lifelong is not fair at all. So there's no reason for a child to feel this overwhelming amount of guilt, shame, and fear, saying that they have to be owing their parents their whole life. It's not the right thing to do. So this is how I actually start a conversation. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to get out of that mindset. Like they owe their life to their parents. It's not true. So this is the mindset that we have to recalibrate. Get them out. So this is how I start breaking through that barrier.
Thank you for that response. It just occurred to me, how is this different than quote unquote cultural differences? Because in some cultures, this is expected. So is it a matter of degree then between what is culturally acceptable versus a narcissistic parenting dynamic?
Yes, culture plays an important role in the many Asian cultures, not entirely narcissistic. This is more of an authoritative approach, authoritarian approach. But the thing here, Dr. N, is that to a certain extent, any sort of approach, this Asian parenting approach, the underlying reason behind it is love. And the way that they converse is like, I have experienced this. I do not want you to experience that. So the parents take the ownership of the child's life. But the underlying cause behind this is love. Whereas in narcissism, it is very clear that the parent is selfish. They want to impose their thoughts and project themselves onto their child. So there are two different things here. So cultural-wise or societal perception-wise, it is important for the adult children themselves to recognize whether it is narcissism or just the way the parent is showing their love. So this is an entirely different perspective to look at. We can actually break that down by asking this active self-questioning. I will have to guide them in this questioning techniques, and then they have to do this active self-questioning to find out what exactly it is. Narcissism is a trend word these days. Everybody calls everyone a narcissist.
Narcissist, it's, right.
Yeah, it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. Who are your parents? Who are the guardians? What are they actually imposing on upon you is something that the adult children must identify first.
Okay, thank you. So in your experience working with victims of parental narcissistic abuse, what are some of the common signs or behaviors that indicate that? So if somebody's listening to this episode, how can they identify and navigate these challenging situations? I think you talked about love being the prevailing factor, maybe say in a cultural dynamic where there's an authoritative parent, that parent is still loving. How can someone listening to this episode identify and navigate these challenging situations in addition to recognizing some of the common signs or behaviors that would indicate a toxic parenting dynamic?
How do we recognize a narcissistic parent? There are a few ways to recognize, but I would just list them down in no particular order. A child will not be comfortable to confess anything to their parents. This is one, simply because the parent will tend to shame them, guilt trip them, emotional blackmailing. These are all signs of toxic parenting. And if there's something that the parent suggests, something that the parent wants the child to do, it is not out of the child's concern. It's not for the benefit of the child. It is for their benefit. So you will identify this as you study more about narcissism, when you know the underlying causes behind it. You will recognize that if your parent is selfish, they will put their needs on you, blackmailing and anything just to get what they want. So these are the very obvious signs of narcissistic parenting. So much so that you're not allowed to express yourself, your emotions, your moods. Everything that you do in your daily life, your actions must cater to their needs, must cater to their demands and desires, not yours. So this is a very obvious sign of toxic parenting. And how do we navigate the situation? There are many techniques involved here. The most effective technique to manage narcissistic parents is first to gray rock. And I would like to add on to this gray rocking technique. You have to be able to gray rock internally and externally. So there are two ways that you should master. Gray rocking is simply being indifferent to their comments, this is the first way to actually, before setting boundaries, if you're still with them or you can't avoid a contact with them, gray rocking is the first step. Internally and externally. External, you don't react to their taunts or their criticism or their sarcasm. Do not react.
Right.
And because they are looking for that reaction, that's the fuel that they are looking at. It ignites more. And it's some sort of a sadistic approach that they want you to feel that pain. They want you to react. That's the thing that they are looking for. So gray rocking will allow you to not give them that satisfaction. That is external gray rocking. There's one more thing called internal gray rocking. This is a term that I have discovered also based on personal experience and research as well, is to not process their words after that, even after that. Once it's done, it's done.
Right.
They have thrown the words. The majority of the problem happens because we take those words and we process them internally.
Right.
We give them a face, we give them, you know, a nose, eyes, and a visual all together.
We give them energy. Yeah, we exactly. Give the words energy.
We empower these words and then we process it inside our mind and tying ourselves even more. So this is where the narcissist wins. In this battle, so-called self-battle, we do not want the narcissist to win at any cost. It is not a competitive thing. It is just to keep ourselves healthy, mentally, right, and physically. So once that conversation is over, that argument is over, it's done. When you step out of that boundary, you are not processing anything that they say. This is internal gray rocking. So this is when gray rocking actually works. People say gray rock the one. Yes, you don't give them the satisfaction of reacting to their taunting, but you also do not torture yourself even more by processing their words after that.
Right. You know, I had not heard of gray rocking. I had heard, of course, no contact or just really limited contact, definitely not giving life to a narcissist's words after the fact, not giving it energy that it does not deserve. But talking about the taunting and your reaction, narcissists love fuel. Any kind of fuel is good fuel for them. Any kind of energy, they thrive off of it. It could be positive, it could be negative. Definitely, I can see how this gray rocking technique takes that power away from them when externally you do not react to their words. But then for your own mental health, you do the internal gray rocking where you don't give life to the words after the fact. So coping with the aftermath of parental narcissistic abuse can be a complex journey. Could you share some of the coping mechanisms or techniques you use to help victims heal and live empowered lives?
The next step after gray rocking is to set healthy boundaries. So I've heard of cases where even at a certain age, the child is bound to listen to the demands of the parents. Example, every day you have to call me at so and so time. This is a condition that a parent set. Narcissists, we've grown up in such an environment, and whatever they say, it's true. We somehow rather there's this chain that holds us back. We hear the rule and we say, oh yes, she told me to call her, so I have to call her at this time. It's this narcissistic chain that holds us back. When you start setting healthy boundaries, you are breaking this chain. So when they say every day, call me at this time, the first step is to not call them. You set your own rules. You are not bound by the narcissistic person's rules anymore. There's no more chains. You're breaking the chain. Initially, it'll be very difficult because anything that they say goes with the victim. Anything that they say, we have to do it. It's some sort of an obligation.
Yes.
The first step is to cut it gradually. Maybe not the whole thing. If they say you call every day, then you don't call every day. Call alternate days. You know, that first step to break that chain will be challenging. But that's where perseverance come in. Your question initially about perseverance and passion. So these are all the things that requires a lot of perseverance and self-discipline.
Right.
You take that decision, hold on to it tight, and do not call them every day.
Right.
The next day when you call them, you will be taunted. There'll be a lot of abuse words, practically, or maybe silent treatment or things like that. Silent treatment is also one thing that they use very effectively. So they tend not to entertain you or to not take your calls, to make you feel guilty. So you have to overcome all those things. You have to stay strong with your decision. Set your boundaries straight. If it's not possible for you to cut contact completely, at least have this boundary. And when they start abusing you, you put a stop to it. No one should be allowed to abuse you.
Right.
Yeah. So setting healthy boundaries, gray rocking, this would be the two methods. And reasoning out with them is not an option at all.
Right.
Because, one with an NPD, a narcissistic personality disorder, will truly, genuinely believe that they're above everyone and anyone. So don't waste your energy.
They'll run circles around you. Thank you for that answer. Do you find that adult children of narcissistic parents have a more difficult time setting and maintaining boundaries, has an even harder time with boundaries because of the dynamic of that relationship between the narcissistic parent and the child?
So there are two scenarios here. One, the child will be a people pleaser. So that's where the boundaries cannot be set, or it's difficult for them to set. Initially, it will be very, very difficult for them to set the boundaries because they are so used to sacrificing themselves for others. In this case, their parents. So boundaries is something very difficult for them to do. And but it's not impossible. It's definitely possible. It just requires a little bit more effort from their side. Another scenario is when this child grows up and he becomes completely closed off to everyone because it's been conditioned, their guardians, their parents have treated them in such a way, and now they are so guarded, they don't even allow anyone else to come near them. That could be another case. So it depends on what the child perceives and how they grow up and how they condition their mind. So sometimes adult children of narcissistic parents, they tend to not accept any sort of love or any sort of care from anyone else because they're just too afraid to accept. This is too good to be true. So I don't want to accept this. So that is another scenario. So yeah.
So you're talking, I'm thinking these boundaries. So we think about the child who's now an adult with the clients you work with. The difficulty with boundary setting is not necessarily only with the narcissistic parent. Do you find out that it extends into other areas of their lives, into other relationships with other people?
Yeah. The most common case that I've come across with my clients is that if they have narcissistic parents, they will end up with narcissistic partners. It's a vicious cycle. When you grow up with narcissistic parents, we are always seeking validation, approval. Somebody must be there to say, your parent must be there to say that you're good enough. So when you grow up, you unconsciously find that support in another narcissistic person. And because you're okay with it, you've grown up in such a way, so it's so difficult for you to change that perception of yours, and you end up finding someone like your mom or dad.
That's what
So
you
that's
know. Yeah. So,
exactly.
thank you for that. As a mental health practitioner, what are some of the misconceptions or stigmas surrounding parental narcissistic abuse that you frequently encounter, and how do you address them?
When I started practicing this, many people raised an eyebrow saying that this is not right for you to go around saying. In my experience, this is an actual fact. Parental narcissism is a real deal. People talk about narcissism all the time, narcissistic boss, spouse. Parental narcissism, whether you realize it or not, is much, much more vicious than being with a narcissistic boss, for example, simply because a child, an innocent child, is manipulated at an age where they don't even know what is right and wrong, how to differentiate that. And when that child is manipulated to be a puppet for a parent who is so self-obsessed, there's nothing more cruel than that. This is my personal opinion. And also, I've seen this in many cases. So I'm just here to tell that parental narcissism is actually a real deal. When I started this, especially in my culture, and being an Asian and so, it is very difficult for me to actually bring out this awareness to people, to tell that child that being a good parent or guardian is the parents' and the guardian's responsibility to provide the basic necessity, the basic needs is a responsibility of a parent. And the child need not carry that burden lifelong. Yes, when your parent is needing your help, your support, you must be there as a dutiful daughter or son. It is your responsibility to take care of your parent, but not to be made to feel guilty or to be shameful or to be fearful. You do that for your parent out of love, out of respect. And it's a powerful word. Love may seem cheesy to some, but love is a powerful word. When a parent takes care and nurtures a child, it is out of love, not out of possessiveness, jealousy, selfishness. It's not right. So this is what my life mission is all about, to empower individuals out there to not carry the guilt, shame, and fear that is not yours in the first place. And this is a cycle, and this is a cycle. It needs to stop somewhere.
Right. And, you know, I am hoping that this conversation, there's somebody out there listening who recognizes that what they're going through is necessarily narcissistic abuse. That's what they're used to until they see how other parents react with or interact with their kids, and they may find it strange. So I think that's where this conversation is so needed, in case there is somebody out there listening who maybe up to this point doesn't fully recognize that their interaction with their parents is not quote unquote normal, a relationship that is based on love, but more based on control. I think this conversation really is so important for people out there listening who may be coming to a realization that what they're going through is not okay. So thank you for this work that you do with regard to parental narcissistic abuse victims, helping them heal and, you know, live fulfilling lives. But beyond your work with parental narcissistic abuse victims, you wear various hats. You are an engineer, an academician, researcher, and animal activist, like I already mentioned. How do these different roles intersect and contribute to your overall mission of making a difference in society?
I will start with the engineer part. So many may wonder, as an engineer, why am I doing this mental health work and things like that? So there's a perception in the Asian culture. So if you want to be successful, you either have to be a lawyer, engineer, or doctor.
Oh, I'm African. I know. Anything else. And then maybe if you don't make it in those, maybe a teacher, maybe. But yes, lawyer, doctor, engineer. I get that. Yes, definitely.
So so in my perseverance mode since young, I had to, you know, get that thing, that goals list. You see, I have to be either one of those, and that's how I ended up being an engineer. And based on the upbringing and all, I had to excel in it. So that's why I'm an engineer now with a doctorate as well. And how that contributed, being an engineer made me an analytical person. And I involved myself in research and things, that's how I managed to come up with my own framework. And I've utilized that knowledge of mine to embark into this. This is very, very important to me. This mental health, parental narcissism work that I'm doing, it's very, very important to me because this is where I feel my calling is.
Right.
So engineering somehow, knowingly or unknowingly, it somehow aided me with this journey of me being a mental health and awareness practitioner here. And academician, I'm currently a lecturer. I kind of connect with young adults in that sense, based on what I've gone through and what I've talk to many people, and this parental narcissism is something that I see in many, many walks of life in that sense. And animal activists. During those times when I was really down, I went through my ups and downs as well before actually coming out of this. Animals was the place where I find solace.
Yeah.
And, nice. Naturally, when you grow up in an environment where you're judged for everything, you can't say a word that's wrong, you know, you have to parent your parent, if you understand what I mean. Is
right.
I grew up parenting my parent. I'm supposed to take care of them at a very young age, kind of a thing, their emotions and all. And when everything turns out to be, you know, you had to take care of someone else, you have to sacrifice and things like that, Animals was that only place that I found solace in. No, they don't judge you.
Judge you, right?
Yeah, there's
Yeah,
so
it's just
much of.
based on love, you know? They're not expecting
Exactly.
absolutely. Yeah.
I was
So,
this child looking for, thirsting for love, and I got it from animals.
Yes, absolutely. So, receiving Malaysia's Women Leaders Award is a remarkable achievement. I say you're a woman of grit in my eyes. How has this recognition impacted your work and advocacy for people, the environment, and animals?
It has elevated my social status tremendously, this award that has been given. I started to gain recognition from the local community when people recognized people recognized my work. I was given many platforms to speak on, and that's when I got my column also as well. I got my column. I write about mental health and awareness. And yeah, and recently I just finished my TED Talk. So I was invited to be a TEDx speaker as well. So yes, this award has helped me in that sense. And it's a reputable one. I'm grateful for it. And it is also a recognition for all this hard work and effort that I've put in to bring my message to the people out there.
Nice. Thank you. Congratulations for all
Thank
the
you.
work and dedication that you've put into this work. You know, I heard the CEO of a company, she said she knew she had found her purpose because she was serving the woman she used to be. And I think of it also as you're that person you needed when you were going through the hardship. So your dedication and passion for making a positive impact are truly inspiring. What advice would you give to individuals who aspire to create change in their communities, whether it's in the field of mental health, environmental activism, or any other cause close to their hearts? What advice would you give them, you know, like as a starting point or any advice?
So, to be able to help the community, to be able to spread your message, to be able to do things that you want to do for others, you do it to yourself first.
Right.
Learn how to live the best version of yourself every day. Once you're able to do that, you will radiate positivity, you will radiate confidence. And when that happens, automatically, your message will go through the way you live. The way you
Right.
live every day is, I think, action speaks louder than words.
Right.
Just live the best version of yourself every day. And your message will spread across
Right.
just
And
like
resonates.
light.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you're not living what you're teaching or speaking, it's apparent, you know, that it's just words versus if you're really living and believing the things you're speaking about, there is a life of its own. And something I was going to mention when you talked about engineering kind of slipped my mind and then just floated back in was I truly believe that the universe prepares you ultimately for your calling. So the engineering may not necessarily have been quote unquote your calling, but it served a purpose in preparing you with that ability to analyze situations. So you were able to come up with a framework, which is the basis of your calling. So I truly believe the universe prepares us with the tools and the skills we need ultimately to do the work that is our purpose and our true calling. So I don't find any education necessarily a waste of time. We can always learn something, even if we don't pursue that path ultimately, we bring something from it. We learn lessons. People may think something is a failure. I think experiences are, we have the successes, but we also have lessons. Something would only be a failure if you don't learn anything at all from it. But as long as you take a little lesson, even if it's just one thing, you take what to do next time or what not to do next time, I think it's a lesson and it's just part of life. It's not necessarily a failure. So today we covered a lot of ground with narcissistic victim empowerment coach, Dr. Praveena Rajendra, who helps adult children of narcissistic parents escape traumatic abuse and confidently begin to make their own decisions. So, Dr. Rajendra, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners?
As I mentioned, for those who are undergoing this parental narcissism abuse, first and foremost, you have to identify where you are right now. Understand your situation before trying to, figure out what's going on around you, figure out what's going on in yourself first. That would be the first thing that you need to do. And for those who are seeking help, I do offer a free consultation call. You can contact me via my website. It's www.drpraveena.com, spelled as Dr-Praveena, Praveena.com. You can book a consultation call with me there. And the best advice would be to live the best version of yourself. As I spoke about it earlier, live the best version of yourself. Life is too short. Enjoy the abundance around you.
Absolutely. And for the listeners, I will also have Dr. Rajendra's contact information in the show notes and in the episode webpage. So if you want to find out more, like she said, she has a free consultation. You can reach her through her website, and that I will have all that information posted. On that note, we have come to the end of a very, very informative conversation in which Dr. Praveena Rajendra shared her insights about parental narcissistic abuse and how to recover from it so you can start living your best life without fear or guilt. So thank you for stopping by, Dr. Rajendra, and take care.
Thank you so much, Dr. N. Thank you so much for
You
the
are
opportunity.
welcome.
So that's it for today's episode of Woman of Grit. Thank you for joining us, and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support, and until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.